Hear now this vision of a valley of dry bones from the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them in the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinews in you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. And when I put breath in you, and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded, and there was great noise while as I was prophesying. Then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them, and the flesh appeared, and they were covered over with skin, but there was still no breath in them. He said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, human one, say to the breath, 'The Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds. Breath, breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinary large company. He said to me, 'Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are completely finished. So now, prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I'm opening your graves. I will raise you up from the graves, my people, and I will bring you Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people, I will put my breath in you, and you will live. I will plant you on fertile land, and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord says."
Dear ones, let's pray. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. So churchy people say things like this all the time. God brings new life, God restores. Churchy people say things all the time like Jesus heals and Jesus saves. And I think it's true that churchy people just like me say things like that all the time. But I think it's also true that there's a gap between what churchy people say and what churchy people really believe. Maybe that's not a safe thing to say here on Sunday morning. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that. But I think it's important to be honest about that reality. I think it's essential that we be frank that there are many things in Scripture, much that we say and hear in church, much about following Jesus that is really hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to believe, especially in hard times. It's hard to believe that God brings new life and that Jesus saves. There are many things in our Scripture as well, the stories that are just frankly unbelievable. Noah's Ark, Moses parting the Red Sea, the virgin birth, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and forget about the details of those stories. I mean, forget about animals two by two and how Moses freed his people and how Jesus was conceived and what really happened to Lazarus. Forget about all those details, because as hard as those are to believe, what's even harder to believe is the truth that those stories point to. And it's really hard to believe the truth claim of our faith that somehow, some way, God will fix what's broken, put back what's lost, lead us all out of the valley of dry bones and settle us onto our own soil, that vision that Ezekiel speaks about. So I know churchy people all the time say things like God brings new life and God restores and Jesus heals and Jesus saves, but do churchy people believe that? Do we believe that? Do you and I believe in the promises of God? So Ezekiel was a colorful prophet that lived in an unbelievable time and said some unbelievable things. You see, he lived around 586 BCE. That was a pivotal time. That was the time after the northern kingdom of Israel had been defeated and conquered and destroyed by Assyria. It's a time right in the middle of the Babylonian conquering of Judah in the south, the southern kingdom which contained Jerusalem. This was a huge practical crisis for the people because the city of Jerusalem was sacked, the temple was destroyed, the people were sent into exile in Babylon. So there was the practical problem, but there was also a theological crisis because God had promised that the house of David, that David's line would exist forever. But now Jerusalem is sacked and the temple's destroyed. David's line is severed and the people are enslaved again. So it's in the middle of this unbelievable time that Ezekiel has this powerful vision from God. And in this vision, God takes Ezekiel by the hand and leads him into a valley of dry bones, a dead place. And he tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones, and he does, and the bones gather, and then sinew and flesh and skin forms around the bones, but they're not alive yet. So God tells Ezekiel to command God's breath to enter into the bones, and they did, and they lived. That's when God says to Ezekiel, "These dry bones are the house of Israel. I will open up their graves. I will lead them home from exile. I will make everything all right. I will put back what has been lost. I will settle them once again on their own soil and make everything okay." Now, Ezekiel doesn't say this, but I know it's true. That when he takes his vision from God to the people and tells them what he saw, I know that many, even most of the people, did not believe it could be true. You see, they were like we are. When we hear the promises of God, when we hear these unbelievable things, it's really hard for us to really believe it, especially in life's most difficult times. Can you imagine what it was like to be shipped off to exile in Babylon, away from home, away from family, people dead all over the place, your city and temple in flames, and some crackpot comes and tells you that everything is going to be okay? And I know that what they said was what we would say. Sure. Sounds nice, sounds pie in the sky. Wish it was true, but the world's on fire, Ezekiel. Why should I believe you? Why should I believe in the promises of God? Look around, nothing is right. How am I supposed to believe? And with that, we come to a great tension within our faith. The tension between the promises of God and our believing in those promises. A tension between the promises of God and the belief, our belief in those promises. Which, of course, brings us this morning to us. We just heard the promises of God from Ezekiel. In just a few weeks, we'll have flowers on that banner. There'll be flowers all over the place. We'll be celebrating God's saving love in Jesus Christ with a sparkling cider toast in that back room. This is very much the season where we hear the promises of God. And because this is that season, It is right and good and appropriate for each of us and all of us to ask that most important question for ourselves. Not do they believe, not does the church teach, but do I believe in the promises of God? Now, the tricky part, which I talk to the kids about, is there is no magic formula for that. There's no magic pill. No one can believe for you. You've got to believe on your own. There's many paths to belief. But a way to get started is to take the time that we have left in this Lenten wilderness journey and daily, intentionally, to ask that question of ourselves. Do I today believe in the promises of God? Do I believe in the promises of God? As a help into that question today and this week, I have a quote and then I have an action. The quote is from a writer and theologian Frederick Buechner, wonderful writer, thinker, fellow journeyer, and he has a quote about believing that I'd like to share with you. So I invite you to get comfortable. It's just a few sentences, but it's really worth listening to. I invite you to close your eyes if you feel like doing that and just listening. Frederick Buechner writes very honestly, "Well, we are believers, you and I. That's why we're here. At least would-be believers. Part-time believers, believers with our fingers crossed. Believing in him is not the same as believing things about him, such as that he was born of a virgin and raised Lazarus from the dead. Instead, believing is a matter of giving our hearts to him, of come hell or high water, putting our money on him, the way a child believes in a mother or father, the way a mother or father believes in a child. By believing against all odds and loving against all odds, that is how we are to let Jesus show in the world and to transform the world." Important words. Lastly, this morning, to help you reflect on that and reflect on this larger question of believing in God's promises, I invite us to an action. So in three places, I know it's this side of the sanctuary centric, it's just the way it worked out, but there are three stations. So there are pots here with soil on them, back there and right up here. And I invite you during the hymn that we'll start in just a minute, as we sing that, as you're moved and as you're able, to move to one of those pots. The soil that's in that is a reminder of God's promises, of restoration, of making everything all right. God's promise to settle us on our own soil. So I invite you to come forward, to touch it, to feel it, to smell it, to remember God's promises and to ask that question, do I believe in the promises of God? And as you come, there's these quotes that you can take with you as a help for your reflections in the coming week. So dear ones, do you and I believe in the promises of God? Let's sing and let's come. Please stand. sing the verses.
Please be seated.